Hey everybody, Shane here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight. Check them out in St. Louis, Missouri, on the hill, the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard. Online 24/7 at gaslightstl.com. You can head over there. You can check out the beautiful recording studio and book yourself a tour if you haven't been by. It's a, like I said, top-notch recording studio attached to a bar and happens to share a wall with Cha Cha Chow. So you can get yourself some delicious tacos, some cold drinks, and hang out and watch one of your favorite bands record in the studio. It's a really unique experience and something really cool for St. Louis here. So get online, follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And again, all details at gaslightstl.com. Also want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. They have a brand new location on the corner of Locust and Washington in the Zach building. You may remember that space used to be the old Plush. So head over there, check it out. They got another new location. They have a special event coming up. Splitlit Rayfield will be there doing a meet and greet signing January 13th, so mark that on your calendar. Come on over there, check out, meet Splitlit Rayfield, and check out the new location. Also, head on over to musicrecordshop.com. Shop online 24/7 and pick up all your new records. New records in store every Friday. Follow them online on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, this is Lexi and Sydney Schlimmer from Candy Coated Evil and Hess Van Schlimmer Metalworks.
And you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out in a coffee cartel, Central West End, with Candy Coated Evil. You want to introduce yourself so people know your voices at home?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I'm Sydney Schlimmer.
And I'm...
Hey.
Okay.
I play bass for Candy Coated Evil. Now you'll be hearing from my sister.
Yeah. I'm Lexi Schlimmer. I'm the guitar player and a part-time vocalist of Candy Coated Evil.
I too sing as
yes.
well.
Yes. Also. We left our drummer at home.
So. He's old.
Yeah. I know it's kind of been... something like, I know a mutual friend, Scott Kramer, has been trying to make this happen, connect the dots for quite a while, and I'm glad it worked out. This is cool.
Me too, definitely.
Tell him how you met Scott.
I met Scott. We were at AndrewWK one night. Sydney decided to, one of the many adventures, decides to go to AndrewWK, and really I didn't know what I was getting into. Yeah, clearly. And I didn't realize that moshing's a huge deal, and they also jump off the stage a lot. And some guy jumped off the stage and kicked me in the face and knocked me to the ground and then ripped out my earrings. So I laid there on the ground, like, with shoe prints on
me. Like a sad turtle.
Yeah, like a sad turtle on my back. And all of a sudden, this white knight comes out of the crowd and grabs me and picks me up. It was fantastic, and I was like, I didn't know who he was, but I was like, hey, thanks, you know, so I ran into him at the bar later and was like, hey, man, thanks for picking me up, since nobody else was clearly going to do that. So
I was busy watching Andrew W.K.
Yeah, but it hurt a lot, and then I guess it was a couple years later, we ran into each other on Facebook, and then, you know, that was it.
Right. So. I had a recent experience similar. I was... at the Urge at the pageant, and got a little rowdy down in the pit like it does, and I end up falling over, and I usually take my glasses off when I know that's going to be the case, and I put my contacts in, and but I got so excited that it was the Urge I forgot about that part, and so I'm in the mosh pit getting a little crazy, and I kept making sure to grab my, you know, hold on to my glasses or whatever, but one time I got knocked to the ground and they flew off my face. And they're trying to pick me up. They're trying to pull me up. And I'm, like, reaching for my glasses, trying to make sure nobody steps on them in the middle of the pit. And luckily somebody grabbed them right away. And so when I got back up on my feet, he handed me my glasses. So I was like, aww. Thank you. Yeah, I was glad that they didn't just get stomped on and crushed. And so.
I think they call that Velma-ing.
What is it? Velma-ing?
Yeah, no, I just made that up. Okay. When you're in the pit looking for your glasses, yeah. And you can't find them. I've been there. Right. Yeah. I understand.
No, the first crowd surfing thing Sid ever did in a mosh pit was what?
Megadeth. I went with Mom.
Well, I was there too, because all of a sudden you just saw Sid's shoes, and then you'd see her coming over the top, and then all of a sudden you'd see her come again. Here she goes again. And then
it was like five times. At the fun fair. It was great.
It was pretty hysterical. And she's going, every time she's saying a different word to Dave, she's like, dang, I love you. You know, and it was just really funny. So.
I did. I loved him.
Yeah, so.
Didn't realize what a jerk he was, but, you know. Yeah. I learned later in life. I grew up.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, I can't remember exactly the first time I met Scott, but I think it was probably at a... through Fivefold. I think that's when we really started hanging out. And
he's a big fan of them.
Yeah. So we, I'm a big fan as well. And I think, I'm pretty sure that's when we all first started there with us, and been following those guys around for several years. And then it's led to seeing them around a bunch of other shows and things. That's kind of a lot of the people I know today are just people I've met through music. And it's like, it's just, it's really cool. It's really a neat thing that I have this whole new group of friends that I've, you know, made just through music.
It's a big community. Really big. And then with all the different venues that have come and go, you know, it just kind of all reformulates. And we've gotten to play some really cool places because of situations like that.
Yeah.
With our music being kind of diverse, we get to play so many different kinds of shows. Like when we played with Chop Tops, you know, so we got to do the rockabilly thing. And then Paul Thorne came to Old Rock House, so we got to play with him.
Mobile Death Camp
at the Firebird. Yeah, total. You know, all these different kinds, because our genre is rock and metal, bluesabilly, and sometimes polka. So when you have that kind of genre, they can't say, oh, no, you're this, that, or the other.
But nobody would know because we have nothing recorded.
Yeah, nobody would know. Because
so you got to come to the show to know.
Yeah, you got to know that we do this, but we've been around for a while, and we just kind of fall into these different venues and different bands that we dig. We've gotten to open for some cool people that we really, really like, and I don't know, it's just been kind of fun over the last however many years.
Yeah, I would like to think I would have obviously remembered it, but there's a good chance I could have been at that Paul Thorne show. I've been following him around for a lot, and I'm a big fan of his. And
isn't he wonderful?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We played one of the shows at the Old Rock House, and then one in Edwardsville.
Yeah, Edwardsville at the Wildy Theater. We actually, as a group, collectively decided to... That theater in Edwardsville would not book him. For some reason, they were, you know, it's owned by the city. They were kind of weird about who was coming and who wasn't. So we found a way to finance through our grandma to book him, and booked out the place and everything, and sold our own tickets and made it happen because we wanted to open for him. So we kind of made the opportunity happen. And then after that, we got to open for him at their Old Rock House because we became friends with him and all this stuff. We followed him everywhere. We went to Chattanooga. We went to Rockford. We've been everywhere to see
Kansas
Paul. Kansas City.
Bloomington.
Love him so much. I mean, I always say that there's two kinds of people. There's people that either don't know him, or there's people that love him. There is no in between. I don't know anybody that doesn't like him.
Right.
So, and he's got a good story on top of it, with your uncle being a pimp and your dad being a preacher. I mean, that's interesting as is.
Everyone in that band is wonderful.
Every single
one of them is amazing.
They make us feel so at home. We go to a place and, you know, we'll go see them or whatnot, and, you know, we all go to dinner, we all get to hang out, we all get to talk, and, I mean, to be able to do that with somebody that inspires you musically, it's just kind of one of those crazy moments, you know, because I can remember the first time I saw him at Old Rock House, and he complimented my necklace and jumped off the stage and danced with me, and I was like, oh my God, you know, this is so cool, and then years later to think now we're friends, it's just really, really killer, so.
Yeah, one of my favorite songwriters, just a brilliant writer, and just a lot of fun. Like I said, he's just a great guy and a lot of fun to watch play. And,
oh, I love him so much.
But yeah, I think he's helped introduce me to other music as well. Like I met Patrick Sweeney opening for Paul at the Old Rock House several years ago, and just, you know, another one of my favorites. So it's like, at the time, like, it was just kind of crazy. Like, he was up there with just him and a guitar on the stage, Patrick was, and then, like, all of a sudden, like, I had no idea really who he was, and I was like, hey, that was really cool. And then, like, he came back to town with his band and blew me away. I'm like, this guy is fantastic. So, but yeah, I mean, so Paul's a pretty awesome guy.
Oh my God. I can't say enough good things, and everybody knows I just absolutely adore him so much. So
I was scrolling through your Facebook, and that's when I noticed a picture of Paul wearing a Candy Coated Evil shirt. So I was
killer, yes.
So I thought that'd be a good talking point, obviously. So
he's wonderful.
Yeah. So check out Paul Thorne if you haven't. Weeds in My Roses, that's my jam.
It's a good one, isn't it? And Pimps and Preachers is good.
Yeah.
I like some of the stuff off of Hammer and Nail, which is one of the first albums, you know, with any of the ones like Sure Sign or I Bet He Knows or any of that off the first couple albums were just amazing songs. I mean, just amazing.
Yeah.
And I would have to say Mission Temple Fireworks Stand was actually the first song that we had heard by him. And it was weird. I remember being in high school-ish and... on CMT, it was Sawyer Brown and Robert Randolph doing a cover of it. And my mom went and looked up who wrote the original song because she's like, your band needs to do this song. And actually, I got a steel guitar at the time.
Which she's selling.
Yeah, literally, like, going to go deliver it here in an hour.
We need the money.
Yeah, so, but anyway, I thought I was going to be Robert Randolph after that. But looked it up, Paul Thorne, next week. She saw at a garage sale, which we don't tell Paul that, but we saw it at a garage sale, was his album. So we were like, oh my gosh. And then then we saw he was at the Old Rock House, and it just kind of all became this, you know, divine, you know, unraveling of sense, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think I first was introduced to him through my parents also. They used to listen to a lot of Casey and Bob and Tom, the Great Day to Whoop Somebody's Ass.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Just played a lot on there. And, so they, I remember, I guess they probably went to go see him, and then they picked up a couple of the records in, like Mission Temple and stuff. And like, so anyway, I started listening to the albums, Ain't Love Strange and stuff like that. And kind of got hooked on these songs just through them. And then of course, as you know, I got older and, was able to go to more shows. I started to be able to go see Paul and more and stuff. And so, yeah, it's cool. So. So you got to play with Paul a few times and a couple other cool people you're talking about, and this is all like 10-15 or something years or something like that, you're saying, in the making, the band.
Yeah, I mean, I started playing around the age of 12 or so. We played our first gig as a group, like,
had happened was
let's tell the truth.
When I was a wee child, I was like, I want to play guitar.
I played piano before that.
Don't matter. I wanted to play guitar. And then Lexi thought, oh, wow, I want to do that more. And so she talked my parents into guitar and guitar lessons because I had gotten them. And, like, everybody that I told, I was like, I'm playing guitar. And they're like, yeah, that's neat. So Lexi's like, I want that. I want people to say, yeah, that's neat to me. So Lexi started playing guitar. And then I kind of realized, I was like, well, guitar isn't really for me. Because I knew my grandfather had played bass. He played upright in a band for how long? Ever? All of eternity.
Even in World War II. That's what he played, this upright bass that Sid plays. He played that over in World War II and brought it back. It's a Czech bass. It's
Czech
really nice.
Bass, yeah. And so I'd switched over to bass guitar. And then we'd realized, oh, wait, we could probably make something happen here.
Yeah. Now, let's be honest, though, about the guitar playing. Our parents took us to a lot of concerts. That was, like, our thing. Our parents, we weren't the, like, sit-around-the-dinner-table kind of people. Our folks worked really hard, had an auction business that they just folded up after 26 years to get into our current business. But they were all about supporting us musically. Our dad had a wedding band all the way up until Sid was born, and then he quit. And so I went to a Bon Jovi concert in the year 2000 and saw Richie Sambora and thought, this is what I want to do. And that was it. Like, that was it. And most people are like, really? Really? Yes. really, Lexi, that's who you want? You want
drugs and big hair.
Yeah.
So I want it.
So I go and I started playing, and it never went away from that point. And we did pull Dad for a I guess it was a talent show in, like, City Park. We won, which was really cool. We did Money Money, the Billy Idol version.
Nice. It was rocking.
And then we played with a drummer that was Sid's best friend when she was in kindergarten, since she was in kindergarten.
Yeah, for a long
time. And then there was an unfortunate accident that happened that, right before.
That resulted in my teeth getting knocked out.
Yeah, it did, with a soda bottle. That was a bad time. But so we were drummerless at that certain point between 17 and 18, and we actually had a...
And friendless.
Yes, that's true.
It's very sad.
So I was like 17, and we were like, okay, well, we got a gig at Mississippi Nights. And we were like, what are we going to do?
We actually had tried playing with other drummers, and we're like, this is terrible.
Yeah, this is not going to work.
This is just awful.
Not going to work. And we
tennis shoes and a dryer
and
all day.
We did weird stuff, like, you know, Love Shack was like one of our favorite songs that we played. And we did like...
We played weird covers, but then we had our... old weird songs that we'd play too.
And Sid's a huge Alice Cooper fan and always has been. So we did, you know, Alice Cooper, it was Judas Priest, it was ZZ Top, and then my grandma wanted me to do Etta James. So it was like, okay, so now we're going this way. And then it's all this conglomeration of all these different types of music together.
Right.
And so we asked our dad, we're like, Dad, we need you.
We used to do like, I'd always said like, no, a lot of people don't want to see your band. Like, people don't want to go see a band and not hear songs that they don't know. So I'm like, let's do, you know, we'll do covers randomly, but we'll also do originals and just kind of keep them entertained.
It becomes a comedy show in there, too. It really is. I mean, it's especially if Sydney and I have had a tiff earlier that day, let me tell you, you're in for a good run. I'm usually scared by that point because it's usually, I can't stand a chance against her wit at that point.
Lexi gets a little bit deer in the headlights at shows, like when she knows that we had a bit of a...
Seriously, like that St. Patrick's Day show, it got out of hand. But anyway,
I don't know what we're allowed to say on here. What are we allowed to say on here?
Uncensored, unedited, whatever.
Okay. Well,
no. Sydney, don't.
Lexi,
no, please don't.
Let's just say I told everyone that she was offering free Handy J's on the parking lot,
and then
a line was formed. I'm just saying.
And the worst part was that from the stage, I'm standing there looking at my grandma just bust out in laughter. And
grandma was laughing so hard. That was so funny.
Our grandma comes to all our shows, which is really cool. But
she asked if you deserved it.
Yeah, that's what she did.
It's
ridiculous. But anyway, we got our dad and our band, played Mississippi Nights, okay, and it was formed. Now, Candy Coated Evil, the name actually happened in a fluke fashion. We used to go to all these haunted houses, okay? There was one in an abandoned Kmart, okay, and it was run by a church, which to me is even scarier.
We didn't know until the end it was run by the church.
We didn't know, and it literally scared us terribly.
We should have known by the entry fee being a can of food.
Yeah.
It was like, oh.
Yeah. So anyway, we got to the end of it after being completely tormented in this whole thing, and they handed us a pamphlet.
It was good, though. It was scary.
Yeah, and the last line said, you can't candy coat evil, is what it said. And we both looked at each other, and we were like,
ding.
That's the name. We're going with that name. And that was right before the whole thing happened with her teeth and with the, you know, the band and all that kind of stuff. So from that point on, it was Candy Coated Evil, and it was the three of us. It's us and our father, and it's just kind of been, I mean, we do what? 6-10 shows a year, maybe. That's what kind of been our average as we've had other things going on.
What year?
On. Yeah, what year?
What year? Not this year.
Yeah, this year our last gig was May.
The second day of it.
Yeah, this year was May 26th was our last show that we did. And it was right after Sid's second surgery. Or first surgery. It was your first surgery.
It was in between surgeries. Yeah. Was it?
Yeah, I think so. But we are currently trying to get back on the horse with our album, which should be just called Chinese Democracy at this point.
You know, at least I have an excuse, unlike Axel.
Sid has an excuse.
Whenever we started kind of getting the whole CD thing in motion, it's when I got sick the first time, and I had parotid gland cancer, and it's basically like side of my neck. And they went in, they got that out, but I was still sick, and they couldn't really figure out, why am I still sick? Why do I still have these swollen lymph nodes? And then I kind of got this odd, like, mass growing in my neck. And it was, it turned out being thyroid cancer. And the first time, like, they were like, oh, we'll just take it out. I highly doubt it's cancer. And they're like, we'll just take out one half. It's fine. So they took out the one half and the mass, and they're like, oh, yeah, just kidding. You definitely have cancer again. And then they're like, we'll take out the other half.
I highly doubt there's any in there. I'm pretty sure we got it. They took out the second half. They're like, oh, wait, no, there was way more in that side. Sorry about that. And there's still more in there. So then I had to do the radiation, which is, like, basically feels like all your veins are on fire. And I had to be quarantined. And it was an experience. Yeah. And
her oncologist looks like Boris Karloff.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, it's really cool, actually.
Perfect. I love it.
Yeah, but what's crazy about that is like I said, like she said, we've been going off of the last, you know, 4 years trying to put this album together. And I would have to say, it's expensive to put an album out. It's even more expensive to have to pay for medical stuff when you have medical insurance.
We're still paying off the first round. And
yeah, let alone the second and third. So, we'll get it done eventually. It's just kind of one of those things that it's been on the back burner, you know, as we've had other things going on. Yeah. So, but we shall prevail.
You can't really fight the cancer excuse.
No, you
it's
can't.
A pretty good
it's
one.
A pretty good one.
It's a pretty good one.
Yeah. But it'll be done soon. And there's a lot. I mean, hell, I think we're so sick of the songs that we've already been working on for the last 5 years that now we're going to just
I'm
do a
so
whole new,
done with
yeah,
it.
A whole new set of them. You know, we'll be ready.
Here's our brand new songs that we wrote
nine years ago. They're vintage now. Yeah. Come on now. We're just adding a new spin. It's real fun.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I had a guy on recently, and it kind of in a similar thing. Like, he had his batch of songs, and he's like sick of them already because he's been messing with it for a long time. Yeah. But it's like, and he wants to get the new stuff out that he's working on because he's a lot more excited about that. But he haven't released the old stuff, and it's like, so I don't know. So I think he ended up putting the old stuff out and then right away, like, and just put it on digitally, and so people can have that. But then I think he's working on the new stuff too, and. Like, but so maybe, I don't know, maybe turn into a double album. Who knows, you know, or something like that. And
let's hope. You know, it would be nice if we could get that out. I mean, before something else happens, I mean, our dad had
I'm not going to lie. It's not really top on my list right now.
Well, yeah. But we still want to play. We still going out and playing and stuff like that. It's a total different thing. And then our father, who's our drummer, had carpal tunnel in both hands all the way up to his elbows. So from October on, he had been pretty much laid up with
He's T-Rexing that. Around the house. Like, his hands are up. It's weird.
Yeah. So, which has been really interesting because we're also at a business with him. So kind of all fell on us to get all the things that we needed done with our orders. So
there's nothing better than being in a band with your family and working
with
your
family. At least you live in town.
Yeah, I live 7 minutes from my old house that my parents.
Mom's gonna be upset when she hears this. We love Tina. We really
no, it's
do.
Hilarious.
Cool.
She understands.
Yes, there's this.
She wants you to not come over so often. She told me that.
No, she did not.
I did. I was just like, I really wish Lexi didn't move right next door.
She
I'll
loves
show you
me.
The text.
Yeah, sure you will. Ugh.
So, you said you have your own business also?
Yes. We have, it's called Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks, and we are a welding and fabricating company with CNC capabilities. That's actually what Sid does. Sid has a degree in graphic design, so pretty much anything she can cook up, we can burn it off on that table. And then I do the welding and fabricating. Our father also does some of the welding and fabricating, and our mom does mainly like the paint and we do fire branding on some of the wood shelves that we make. She does that and any of the woodworking type stuff and just the finish work in general. So everybody's kind of got their.
She looks like a damn warrior outside whenever she's doing the fire. Like, just fire is like engulfing this woman.
Yeah,
and
she's like, hey. It's really cool. And, you know, they were in the auction business for 26 years, and I was a paralegal before that, and everybody kind of needed a change right at the same time. And I had previously been welding out of my garage and doing, I was selling flowers so I could go see the Rolling Stones. I wanted to see the Rolling Stones really bad because Keith Richards is my favorite.
Metal flowers, not like you picked them.
Metal flowers, I was welding those. And I sold 103 of them to everybody that worked at the courthouse that I worked with. So I was selling them, and so I could sit sixth row in Nashville for the Rolling Stones, and then just kind of created a little business out of that. And my folks always like promoted it totally. And my dad's
he learned to weld before that, but we took some classes together when I was about 19 or so. So everybody had a major interest in the industry itself. And then we decided, well, let's buy a burn table. Why don't we all like just join forces and like make this happen on a grand front? And so we kind of threw all of our eggs in that basket, like in 24 hours. We like all of a sudden just boom.
It was quick.
We went out the gate.
Changeover of life.
Yeah, and yeah. Schlafly is one of our biggest clients. We do all their shelves. It's in a bunch of grocery stores all over. I mean, we're now being shipped to 13 different states. We do a lot of their displays. We did like steampunk tractors and hot air balloons and all this stuff that we fabricated. And then Hell's a Poppin' at the Circus Sideshow, Sid's friend Bryce. Sid got, he wanted a sign done for Riot Fest in Chicago. So like 150,000 people see it in Chicago. So we went up there to see that.
And we actually did two signs.
Yeah, and then
there was the lit up one and then the one they hung up.
Oh, in the front, yeah.
Yeah, just to see something you did in a mass crowd of people. Yeah.
At the Misfits
amazing.
Reunion, basically.
Oh,
that's
God,
what it was called.
Oh,
yeah, it was really cool. And so we, well,
I cried.
What was funny is we met.
For the Misfits, I mean, I cried about that. That was a moment.
We met a friend from through Facebook or whatnot up there. I'd never met this guy before, but super nice. And his name was Jason, and he ended up knowing the editor of Welding Productivity magazine. And they looked into it or whatnot and decided to do a feature on Hess Van Schlemmer or whatnot and interviewed me. And then they decided to put me on the cover. So I was on the December issue of Welding Productivity, which was like totally wild, you know, big milestone, good, you know, promotion for the company. And that it was just really crazy because I thought 9 months ago, you know, I was leaving this job and now, you know, we're here, you know, at this point. So
it's crazy.
I mean, total just whirlwind. We just had so much business right out of the gate, and we didn't necessarily know all of the ins and outs of what we were doing at the time, but we learned, and we had to learn real quick because we were doing some new things, some different tasks that we hadn't been presented with previously. So, and then when Sid got sick right in the middle of it, and we couldn't stop,
a wrench in all.
Yeah. So, but she still came to work. Like even after she was radioactive and everything, she showed up at work, and we still pushed through everything that we could. But we're a custom shop. We do, I mean, everything from little, you know, custom, you know, monogram type things, or you know, your kids, I don't know, a number in a football kind of a deal, to full on displays and signs, all sorts of things you can think of. It's just we get to be artists on the daily, which is really fun. Yeah. You know, it's really fun to be able to do that every day and get up and have that kind of freedom to an extent. You don't have as much freedom as everybody thinks when you have your own business, because most people are like, oh, come have lunch with me. It's like, no, I can't do that. You know, like I'm working until ever, you know, kind of a deal. But
well, that's cool to hear. I mean, like, let alone the music creativity and stuff, but being able to have the physical art and everything, all this stuff you're doing with the wood or metalworking.
Mm-hmm.
I love that that the creativity never stops. You know, it's just like, whether it's
it
one
stops
or the other.
When I get home.
Yeah.
when I'm tired.
No, we do. And I mean, I think that's what something that needed to happen for all of us is to have a creative outlet, because our parents were extremely creative. You know, growing up, our mother did the craziest stuff. Like all of our art projects were spot on thanks to our mom's ideas and things like that. And then we kind of have all grown into our own wheelhouses and decided, yeah, you know, I like this medium, I like doing this, I like doing that. And it's just grown, and it's fun to have that kind of liberty in your own life, because you know, I used to work a desk job, and now I look at it and go, I don't know if I could ever do that again now that I've gone to this level.
She was very easily the Marilyn in the Munsters, like compared to rest of us. And then finally, like, to see her fully express herself artistically is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's different because Sydney's always been the brave one, and like she's always, you know, taken me down the you know, the dark side, the dark path, like all this kind of things. I even just the bold and brave in general, and I'm always like, we're gonna get in trouble. No, you know, never did. Sydney always had that, and finally got to make a bold and brave move and just kind of said, well, here we go, you know, it's let's take the ride. So
what, you know, the worst thing that anything's, you know, that ever is going to happen is somebody's going to tell you no.
Right, that is the worst thing in business. Sure. Yeah, But we are, you know, constantly looking for new people to help and express their ideas, because that's what we try to do. We try to take your idea and amplify it and then make it into something, this huge product, to give you, to display whatever it is, or just to have in your house. I mean, we've done, one of the things we do is we go to these different horror conventions.
Horror.
I mean, have to say
scary movies. Yeah. Horror. Yeah.
Conventions all over, and sell our stuff. And the shelves have been really popular, of all different kinds. I mean, we've made Edgar Allan Poe's, Beetlejuice, Clockwork Orange. We did a Scream one. We did all these
inspired
kind of things.
Inspired.
Shelves. They're really cool.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's just been, we're doing all sorts of new stuff for the new year, too, just to peddle out there and see what people like and what people don't, so.
Yeah. So did all the metalwork stuff, did that get started with Dad, or like when?
I would say, my mom always had collected really cool stuff. Like, we always were fascinated with, like, springs, you know, out of, like, a mattress or something like that. She used to bring me all this stuff and say, how do you put this together? And it's like, and my dad goes, well, that's, you gotta weld it. So we kind of started that together. But then after that, after we took classes and stuff, he didn't do it full on, kind of a deal. It was like it turned into to me doing it all the time and out of my garage. And I actually was dating a guy that also was a welder, so I learned a lot about MIG welding from him. But overall, it was kind of the inception with my father being able to actually execute.
Yeah.
The way to do it, but my mother being like with the ideas, coming and saying, make this tree, make this thing happen, you know, and so that's how it all came down.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's cool, though. I mean, like the fact that keeping it all in the family, too. The business, the music.
Yep.
It's all, you know, getting to work together with family, and I'm sure that has pros and cons, but it seems like you guys are really enjoying it all. Like, I feel like I don't know. I mean, no matter how great people are, sometimes you kind of need a little bit of space. But
it's absolutely,
yeah. There is no space.
Yeah.
There is not one bit.
Oh, no, we do have to take time from each other.
Right.
But I still have to say, Sid is still my favorite person to travel with. Like,
yeah.
If I go somewhere, she's so funny. Like, and I like that excitement about it. Is really just that's what it's all about. So I think at the end of the day, even though we like our space, we like our privacy, we like all that kind of stuff, we're still kind of best friends in a lot of senses.
We're very quick to forget what happened. Like, I mean, I'm just gonna, you know, come clean. Like, the other day at work, I threw a stool.
Sydney hulked.
I was very mad. I was very angry. Like, within 12 minutes, everyone was like, oh, well, that happened. And
yeah,
it was
kind of like, are you done now?
Yeah,
are
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah.
My mother called, she goes, you feel better? I said, yes, mother, I'm good.
It was
an odd moment, but then it was like, you know, I always compared us to, like, young teenage boys. Like, they could beat the hell out of each other, and then later that night, they're eating pizza together, and it's fine.
Yeah, we're totally
right.
Cool.
Yeah, that is a good trait to have, to easily forgive and forget, you know, move on. And
we've had to grow. I mean, as people, I know this last year, there's been a lot of humility involved in everything that has gone on in our lives. And I think that I've had to learn to apologize, and I've had to...
She's still trying.
I'm still trying really hard about that. But learning to, you know, be
her
honest.
Her nose bleeds every time she tries to apologize. It's weird.
I think we had to learn to be honest with everybody, and it's just cutting through all the BS of things and trying to go after a common goal. And, you know, you got to learn to communicate. That's the biggest thing in any relationship, no matter what it
sure.
is. And I think that the best way it was kind of being described is we were like four landmines working together, and you didn't know who was detonating first, you know,
right.
kind of a deal. So you had to learn where everybody's detonators were, and like, and try not to push them, you know, like try to
because
be
you know
smart.
Exactly what's going to make you win.
Yeah, you,
like what
you
can
do,
I say right now?
You know the card that's going to win. Yeah, but it is that thing, and it's we're trying to grow as humans, you know, and trying to be better people. So it's cohesive in the best way possible.
And
because
it's like, and my battle cry is always like, guys, we're at work. Stop. We're at work. We're at work. And then the other day, whenever I had my moment, everyone just kind of looked at me and they're like, Sid, we're at work.
We're
at like, you dicks.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so the truth.
I think that's I think the communication is huge. I mean, I think that's the reason why a lot of these bands you see break up is because they don't talk to each other. They don't, you know, you get, if there is a concern, it needs to be voiced, you know, and otherwise people, it ends up being like they blow up and then it doesn't, you know, band breaks up or whatever.
Right.
So
there's got to be a voice. There has to be scheduling. There has to be a common goal. And, you know, when you, especially when you don't necessarily know what the play is, everybody's got to at least act as if and go along with it. And, you know, and not, everybody's got to have the hope, you know, everybody's got to have the goal in mind, or, you know, what could happen, the what if in a good way rather than the negative side of it. So, and it, that's been really hard for us, but I mean, it's just been a crazy year.
I don't think it'd be so hard if, like, with all the medical issues, I can absolutely say, like, nothing would be anywhere near what it's at right now. Like, the
to say we were disgruntled is a little bit of an understatement, but, you know, in the same
I threw a stool, guys.
In the in
I threw one.
In the same sense, though, I think that we, I'm so proud of this group for withstanding what has happened over the last however long. This last, you know, we've had a very successful first 9 months as a business. We've had great clients. We've gotten to learn a lot of really cool things. We put out a lot of really cool things. I mean, we had the magazine. We had all this stuff. And I'm glad that we were so busy, because I think it helped us get through the hard times, you know, that much easier, because if you had too much time to think about it, you'd pretty much break down. So it was hard because, like, again, this wasn't our first rodeo with the whole medical thing, so it was kind of like you really felt punched in the gut. But, you know,
I felt punched in the
neck. My favorite quote to this day is when Prince was at the Super Bowl in 2007, it was raining, and they came in and said, "Prince, it's raining, what do you want to do?" And he's like, "Can you make it rain harder?" And that's what he said. And I'm like, you know, I live my life by that. Can you make it rain harder? Because it doesn't matter. You know, you have to just keep going.
Yeah.
So that's what we've done. And we will continue to do the same thing in 2017 and hope for the best.
It makes you sound like a really dedicated stripper.
What?
Can you make it rain harder? Yeah. I appreciate what you're doing,
please,
but
hundreds,
I need more.
Hundreds
thank
only.
You.
I'll take 20s and 50s.
No change.
No change. Don't make it hail. Hail. Don't
make it hail.
No hailing.
Yeah.
So,
we were discussing some of Sid's things, and we got a benefit in the works there, right? Coming up. We don't have a date, but we have a...
Actually, kind of, we've been talking about it randomly for a couple months, like, oh, we should probably do this. And then today it was, we had our round table discussion at work, and my mom just kind of looked at me and she's like, "We need help." It's you know, basically it's, there's this weird guilt that you get with, like, knowing that you alone drained your parents' retirement fund and you didn't even have any fun doing it. And you know, I was like, okay. So I was like, I'm just going to put something out there on Facebook and say, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to have a benefit. We're going to have, I'm hoping to have some great St. Louis acts, maybe out-of-state acts, burlesque dancers, sideshow acts, and hoping that, you know, some of my friends just will be like, yeah, I could do this. Oh my God, I put this out there, and, like, everyone and their brother was like, "I want to help, I want to help." And it's, like, it's
overwhelming.
It's so overwhelming. And, like, I have about 30 Facebook messages that I haven't even cracked open yet, and it's, like, it's amazing. It's amazing how many people want to help, and bands that you admire, you know, like, writing you saying, "Oh, can we donate something?"
Right.
Yes, yes, you may. And, like,
so we're talking spring, we're talking early April is probably what it's going to be, and I mean, we got a couple venues in mind or whatnot, and we know the Well Hungarians definitely want to help big time. They came forward first to try and get something on the ball, so that's a pretty cool thing, you know.
Sure.
It's pretty good start, I would have to say.
It was a while back, I had to put my dog down, got sick, and spent a lot of money I didn't have. It was same like you were saying, and, like, I hate asking for help. I'm just, it's not me.
It's the worst, isn't it? It's like,
I made one of those, my wife actually did it behind my back and put it together and made this, like, GoFundMe thing. And we met our goal, like, in, you know, less than 24 hours, raised, like, whatever, $1,500 or something like that. And it was just like, it was very overwhelming. I mean, to feel the love and support from friends and family. Everybody wanted to be a, you know, help out and, you know, the, whatever they could. And so anyway, yeah, I relate to. I mean, it's obviously way different, but it was it's really an emotional roller coaster. I mean, you feel bad, but then you're like, you're overwhelmed with happiness and joy and love and everything.
Yeah, and it's like, what? I can't believe you just, yeah. like just on my way home, I got a message from the love of my life, Mr. Hamilton. He wrote me saying that Hamilton has a variety act that tours around the country, and one of his performers, Salem, his mother sent me money through my PayPal. I forgot to tell you. I told mom though.
She was excited.
So sweet. And she sent me money, and I was like, what? Like, I can't. People, like, you wouldn't understand the, like, how quick it spiderwebs out to people.
Yeah.
You know, I think our group, we have big hearts, and as long as I can remember, we have always tried to help anybody that we can. I mean, any random act of kindness, any kind of thing. So we never really thought this would ever happen to us, that we would have to, you know, turn around and be like, oh, hey, you know, this is a thing, this is what we're faced with. And, you know, looking at everything that you have left, trying to decide what the play is, you know, kind of a deal. And I think that the fact that so many people have come through and said just so many, I don't know, just great things, just even praying for, you know, that kind of thing. It all helps the grand picture of it. And it is, it's overwhelming. I know that this world sometimes seems so ridiculous and so awful, and everybody can find something to bitch at or whatnot. But in the grand scheme of things, there are still big-hearted people out there. There's still everybody, and I realize everyone's going through something. That is not to be minimized under any circumstance. But time's very valuable, and how you spend it, and the people that have taken time out to say hey, or done anything for that matter, or just stepping up to the plate, is just so appreciated in so many ways. And I think that this is going to be really awesome. You know, for it's going to fund the next set of testing that Sid's going to have to get, and all this kind of stuff, because she's not even clear yet of this third round.
Yeah,
so
no, she still has it.
So until we're there, and I mean, we cannot afford that another hit of that under any circumstance. So, but we've been very, very thankful and very, very blessed in so many other ways to be able to weather all of it. So,
yeah, are you all planning to play the benefit then too?
That's what we've been told.
Yeah. We've been told by other people
that we are. Yes.
That we are playing it.
So we'll probably be making our comeback debut at that point.
We'll see.
There.
Yeah.
So.
We'll see. It's a possibility, probably.
All right. We'll keep an eye out for that. I'm sure details will be all over the place coming soon. So keep an eye out. And then hopefully... maybe gear up and get back in the studio and get the record out there.
Yes.
And, of course, can I get involved with the business online, too?
Yes. If you want to check out our Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks, we're on Facebook. That's one of them. But if you go through hvsmetalworksart.com, that'll get you to our actual site and our store and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, just shoot us a message. Yeah. You know, if you got something crazy you want to talk about, or design or quote or whatnot, I mean, we are so open to that.
We just want to talk.
Yeah. We just want to talk. We're just some friends.
Hey. What's up? Not really. We're very busy. You know, we're busy. But you can say hi.
I might be reaching out. I've actually got an idea I wanted to do, so it's nothing really crazy, but maybe you can help out. So we'll figure something out.
I'd love to.
This has been great. I've been really enjoyed meeting you two and getting to hang and talk for a little bit. And
thank you so much.
Maybe we can do another one for the benefit or for the release or something.
That'd be killer.
I'd love to get
back together. Yeah.
And talk some more.
Are these stickers for us?
Yes, of
because I like stickers.
Yeah. We have sticker boards, so we do.
I've been giving them to all the guests, and it's like, it's such a cool thing when you start seeing them around town, you know, and you see somebody's guitar case has it on it or whatever, and it's like, I don't know, it just makes me feel good. It's like, it's just...
It gives you the warm fuzzies.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. I've done something. Something, yeah. You know, that's the artistry of it. It's like, this is mine. This is sure. what I'm doing. That's what we love about those Schlafly shelves. People go in the grocery stores and take selfies with them. Yeah. It's like, where's Waldo? Like, people are looking for him, and it's just, it's a fun feeling. It's just a shelf. Nobody would ever pay attention right. to that before.
People are probably very confused about people taking selfies with shelves.
With shelves all the time, yeah, but... We love it. Yeah. We absolutely love it. Keep it up, people. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Send those selfies in. Let's see them with your Schlafly shelves.
Absolutely. Yeah. Be awesome.
Yeah. Well, very cool. I thank you very much for taking time out to hang. And
thank you.
It's been a lot of fun. Hopefully everybody can hear us besides with all the background noise, but I think we'll be all right. So.
Next time, trampoline park. That's where we're going.
I like the chair symphony that was going on a little bit ago. Yeah. Where you just had like somebody dragging 9 chairs across the ground.
Yeah. Never a dull moment, kids.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.